Good morning, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Monday edition of the program. And it is the first Monday of the month. That means it's time for an update from Coffeyville Regional Medical Center. And we have joining us Dr. Patrick Tinker. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Hey, good to have you in here. And you know, you've been pretty busy with some appearances. I know lots of folks from CRMC were over at the first Friday there in Independence.
Correct. It was quite an impressive gathering, a very impressive presentation, and I was pleased to be able to speak about heart health for the month of February being Heart Health Month.
Well, it's always great to, you know, have that recognition and everything. So, you know, I think it'd be good to talk a little bit about that today because, you know, it's just so many people, we don't think about our heart too much until there's a problem, and that's not always the best thing. So it's nice to kind of have a month to dig a little deeper and think a little bit more about this. So what's what are some important things that you'd like to talk today about regarding heart health?
Well, Friday was Women's Heart Health Day, and that's kind of what we focused on with that event. And so I'll just recap some of that. It's been thought and talked about for years and years now that maybe women don't get as much attention for their heart health and get as much treatment as men do. And there's the basis for that is really kind of a misconception, because women do not get as many heart procedures as men do. And if they have a heart attack, they're a little less likely to get a stent for it and a few things like that. But when you dive into these numbers and see comparing women to men in the same age category, they get about the same. So the good news for women is that they tend to get their heart disease later in life. So men do it younger. Men have larger hearts, larger bodies on average. Their hearts are bigger. It's easier to work on those. The older and the smaller and the more other diseases that people have, men and women, the less likely they are to benefit from certain procedures. And so we're constrained in some way to not do something incorrectly or harmfully. So if you dive into those numbers, the good news is that women aren't really being undertreated out of some kind of bias. They're being treated appropriately for their age, you know, when they get the heart disease, their age and other diseases like lung disease or diabetes and strokes and different things that come at the same time change the calculation of what should be done for a heart condition. So that's what we talked about on Friday. The good news is that the treatments that are good, that treat men's heart disease, are the same treatments used for women's heart disease. There's no major difference in response to treatment. And in the last several years, the big news in heart treatment is that congestive heart failure has much, much better medications now. So the medications are several new categories of pretty new drugs, but they're quite effective in increasing life expectancy and in making people feel better, walk faster, climb more stairs, etc. Now, stepping back for a second, I'll go through this congestive heart failure. What are we talking about? Okay, congestive heart failure is when the heart function, its mechanics, don't match up with what is needed from the heart at that particular time. And it could be because some illness has made the body's requirements so high the heart can't keep up because it's just there's too much being asked of it, or that the heart is ailing itself and just doesn't have the strength to provide the mechanical power and pumping the blood that it should. So there are several ways you can get the congestive heart failure. It can be from a heart ailment like valve disease. It can be a blocked artery that causes some of the muscle to fail, to malfunction. So we say that somebody has heart failure regardless of the cause of the malfunction, be it valve, muscle of the heart, injury, heart attack, any of those things that make a person get breathless and retain fluid and cough and they can't walk very far and they get breathless and panting and turn blue and they just can't perform. We call that broad category of disease, we call it congestive heart failure. And medication is very effective with it these days. It needs to be revisited from time to time.
Well, sure, no, and that is good. And obviously, you know, I know that there's some surgical options too, but it's great that we have so many new and good medicines these days. You're talking about the difference kind of between the men and the women. Is it true that there's some different kind of symptoms of male versus female heart attacks, like some of the way that actually presents itself?
It is true that men who present, let's say, today with a heart attack, it's a huge emergency, lights and siren, all of that. Men present more frequently saying, well, I've been having some pains or some trouble breathing, or I can't climb stairs, or I've been noticing this issue for a week or a month or longer. More often, the men will say that they saw something coming. More often, women will that'll be their first event. They didn't have any warning of it. So that's the fact they say, well, it just only happened the first time today doesn't necessarily mean they're off the hook. So we have to be cautious about that. Men are more often have had some kind of prodrome, they call it. There's more differences between one individual to the other, regardless of sex or gender. So one person presents with a heart attack that feels like a slight tingling fullness or a feeling of my chest feels crowded. And somebody else might feel like it's a gorilla sitting on your chest or like a ton of bricks or I can't breathe. I mean, there are more differences from one individual to the other than between men and women. But then women do, as an average, have more slightly off symptoms like the pain is in the pit of the stomach or it's up on the shoulder. There are some minor differences among the genders, but what it comes down to is everybody might have kind of squirrely or not exactly typical, the same old chest pain like we know from TV.
Yeah, it's not going to be something that you're checking off on a chart necessarily, but it sounds to me like it's important to know your body, pay attention to what's normal for you, and then if something deviates from that normal, check it out.
Correct. And as soon as a person has the notion that, wait a minute, there's something, what's this thing? Would much rather that they go get it checked out than to wait, well, let's just see if it goes away. Because I know you don't want to run to the doctor all the time, but if there is damage going on, then minutes are very important. Not just hours or days, but even minutes matter for how much damage might happen if you really have a situation that needs treatment immediately. Getting in with the catheters and the angiogram and putting a stent in to open that vessel up, if it's that kind of an emergency, time is very, very important.
And so as far as, you know, we hear the word heart attack and thrown around a lot. What does actually that mean? What's causing that? Is that those clogged arteries? Is that the collapsed arteries? What causes it?
In the almost always when we have the typical heart attack and the EKG shows typical heart attack, that means that a blood vessel has closed off to 100% over the last minutes or hours. And it's a very sudden thing. Suddenly there's the ton of bricks. And that blood vessel that closes off has probably been growing from 20% narrowed to 30 to 50 to 80, even up to 90%. There's no heart attack until that last bit closes off with a blood clot. So when that happens, suddenly there's the ton of bricks or whatever it is that you feel, And we need to put a wire down through that clot, flush it out, put a stent in there, and it might have been 90% blocked yesterday. Today it's 100%. You get that stent in, and it's 0%. It blows open the whole thing, and that is a very good lasting effect. It stops a heart attack and prevents it in the future. So it's a big win. But if we don't get to it until 12 hours after the thing began, then there's almost no benefit in opening it up. The damage is there. It may make some pain go away, but you have morphine for that too. So it's a real tragedy to not get it fast enough and then to have that permanent damage.
Yeah, I know that's definitely a good point. I know we've talked about a little bit of scary stuff here today, but you know, there's lots of things people can do now to improve their heart health. You know, at any age, right?
Prevention is much better than the cure. We know that prevention works, and some of the treatments. Let's say that you don't have a total heart attack, but you just have the 80-90%. Blockage, and it's making you have trouble climbing stairs, something like that. The treatments can make that 90% go down to 80 and 70, and you can climb farther and, you know, do more work and without having to stop. And so you get healthier, and it prevents heart attacks. So the things that you do to make your blockage not occur or to keep it from getting worse and forming a heart attack are the things that everybody knows. It's pretty much what grandma would tell you. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't carry too much weight. Don't eat more than you ought to eat. Keep your sugar down. Eat healthy food. So controlling your diabetes, not having tobacco, not carrying way too much weight, go outside and play, exercise. Do the things grandma would say. You want to exercise, eat sensibly, not too much, control diabetes. Now, those are all things that are easy to do on your own. What's not easy to do on your own is to bring down your cholesterol level. You can swear off eating any red meat. You can eat nothing but, you know, spinach or what. All kinds of things might help a little bit on diabetes and some things, but it's not really that great in bringing down your cholesterol as much as you would like. It might be good for your health. It might help prevent heart attack. But to bring the cholesterol level down, really there's no match for the good pills they have nowadays. And a lot of them are quite inexpensive now. There is, unfortunately, a bad reputation for cholesterol medicines among some people on the internet, and you know, just your neighbors, and say, oh, I took that and it made me feel like the flu, or it made me get a rash or something else, or made me cough. Or and every class of medications have certain allergies or intolerances for some reason, but there are a lot of different cholesterol drugs. If one doesn't work, you can try another. If a person has some feeling from a medicine, you might take it every other day. Work with your provider on that. But the days when cholesterol medicines might cause muscle pains are largely gone because the second generation of drugs were kind of bad about it. They're all off the market now, those ones that cause the muscle pains. The ones now are very, very, very few people really have to stop them for muscle injury. Those ones are off the market. We have good, effective medicines. We can find the dose for you. We can find the how much you should take. But the benefits are very, very well proven, and you should not give up easily.
That's good to know. And it seems like there has been so much talked about and misinformation. People say, oh, you know, eggs are good for you this week, they're bad for you this week. It's just, you know, all over the place as far as cholesterol. So I feel like, you know, people have heard all sorts of things over the years.
And they change, as you point out.
Yeah.
Like eggs. Oh, eggs are terrible. You can't eat them. Now, oh, they're good for you. And it's true. They are. They're good for you. But who knows what they're going to change next.
That's right.
But right now, we have good, effective cholesterol medicines that almost everybody can take without feeling bad about it. And they lower your cholesterol and make you live longer.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Tinker, if folks are maybe interested in getting on your calendar, scheduling an appointment, are you taking new patients right now?
Yes. There's a nurse practitioner, Amber Lopez, and I, working at the Coffeyville Regional Medical Center in the specialty clinic on the third floor. If you call the main number, say you want the specialty clinic, or just say you want a cardiology appointment, they'll put you right through. And our waiting time isn't very bad right now. So we're able to get a person seen, and just all it takes is call and make an appointment.
Excellent. Well, it's great to know we have a pretty easy direct access right to a good cardiologist like yourself. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with us this morning?
Hope everybody has a lovely day.
Excellent. Well, it's not going to be too bad this week. We're going to be making it to around 70. So get out there and be thinking about your heart and get some exercise.
Get some exercise. Do what Grandma said.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Dr. Tinker from Coffeyville Regional Medical Center, we really appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. So we do have coming up next here a preview of the Interstate Farm and Home Show. That is on the way. Our very own Tina Romine will be in studio. And then after that, we will have an update from USD 445. And we will be getting into open line right around 8:35 here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.